you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. Coming up next hour, the shocking and disturbing news about the tens of thousands of containers of DDT offshore of Southern California between Catalina Island and the mainland. Is it even possible to contemplate cleaning it up given the volume of toxic material at the bottom of the ocean? That's coming up next hour here on Air Talk. But right now, we're very pleased to have with us the superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District, Austin Buettner. Mr. Buettner, good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
Larry, thanks for having me.
Let's start, first of all, with your announcement last week that you will not be continuing beyond the end of your current contract, through the month of June, just as schools are going to be planning for the full reopening come the fall. What's the reason behind your decision not to re-up with the district?
So I agreed back in 2018 to serve for 3 years. We've made extraordinary progress. We're opening schools in the safest way possible, setting truly a national standard for how to do this right. We'll have record funding at schools going into next year, and I think it's the right time to pass the baton to the next when we have such a sense of momentum and we're making progress.
And so you had the three-year period, but here is a chance for you to oversee the implementation of the full, not hybrid, but full return to in-person instruction and a chance to directly address many of the deficits in education that have been created in student households because of distance learning. Isn't that a challenge that you'd want to take on?
Oh, I'd welcome that challenge, but to put it in some context, it has been 3 years of 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you have to know your limits. And I think we've made such progress. We have the foundations in place for that full reopening. This is a good time for that transition. I've never been more confident about the leadership in the school district that we've got a team in place who will continue the work. So that's the right time to make that transition.
With someone like yourself, who's had a number of very high-profile positions, including publisher of the Los Angeles Times and being a top advisor in the L.A. mayor's office and candidate for mayor, the question is, what comes next? You're only in your early 60s, and I'm sure a lot of things that you'd be interested in doing. Are you considering a run for public office in your future? Is that something you're open to?
Yeah, I think the next step for me is a little rest and regroup. Maybe a day off, but I've spent more than the last decade in service of the community, as you noted, whether it was working as deputy mayor at Vision to Learn, providing free eyeglasses to children in low-income communities, my service in the school district, and I'm hoping I can find a way to continue to make a difference in service of others.
What are the plans to address the dramatic loss of learning that's happened with such a high percentage of LA Unified students because of online education? How do you backfill that this summer and beginning in the fall?
Yeah, two parts I'd like to talk about. The first is we've got to do this the right way as we are in reopening schools. You've got to create a safe school environment. So the upgrading the air filtration systems in 80 million square feet of buildings, which we have done, reconfiguring school classrooms to keep students and staff safely apart, doubling custodial staff to keep it clean and sanitize every room, the COVID testing for students and staff, the vaccinations for staff and families. Those are all part of the foundation of the path to recovery, which is to make sure families and our staff are comfortable being in schools. We've done that. Now we start to look at the work of recovery. And we're not waiting for next August. Look at what we've done with something we call the primary promise, our commitment to make sure every child in elementary school builds a foundation in literacy, math, and critical thinking skills. And since education is cumulative, you got to get it right early. We took 2,500 students who were not readers, first graders, who'd struggled because they had their kindergarten year cut short last year. We did some quick diagnostics when they came back to school, saw they were struggling. And guess what? We put extra reading teachers right in the classroom with them, even a virtual classroom, an online classroom. They've already caught up to their peers. So let me just repeat that headline. We've taken 2,500 students who are not readers, helped them become readers in less than half a school year. We'll extend that program to all of our elementary school students throughout the school district. And as we come back to school, it's only going to get better.
You've seen a significant drop-off in enrollment for kindergarten. This has been true in districts throughout California. Some of those families perhaps delaying the start of school, others opting for charters or other schools that they felt better about the way learning was being conducted than district-operated online education. What is that going to mean as those kids, reach first grade level? Do you anticipate significant numbers of those coming back, or do you figure you've lost a fair number of those students?
You know, in our conversations with families, we expect a good portion to come back. The reason some chose not to is California law is age six. It's not mandatory kindergarten. It's at six you go to kindergarten. So families felt if they were in an adequate child care situation, they'd stay with that and enroll their child in the year to come, which is this year. So we're seeing so many come back. Now, we've also lost students because their families have left Los Angeles area. And I think one of the challenges we face as a community, in particular the hard-hit communities we serve, where three-quarters of the families we serve had someone in the household lose work, where we have this overhang of rent evictions, which has been forestalled due to legislative actions in Sacramento, but that's still with us. So as the pieces settle, we may find job recovery leads to student recovery, because if families can't find work, if they can no longer be safely in a residence cared for with all the support they need, they may seek to live elsewhere. So we're seeing most of the students already come back, our current first graders, and we expect to see that continue. But the declining enrollment in the overall area in Los Angeles is mostly due to birth rate and the high cost of living.
We're talking with Austin Buettner, the superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District. He's going to be leaving at the end of June as his three-year contract expires. The question is, what is the district doing to try and address the challenges facing the return to students on campus later in the school year, how you backfill that, and also deal with a number of other challenges like declining enrollment, which the district is as well. Mr. Buettner, let's talk about what the summer is going to look like. Is there going to be a summer school open to everybody? Is it going to be highly remedial to try and, close that gap? What are you looking at once this extended regular school year is done?
Sure. We're excited about it. We're looking at summer school for all, much as we did last summer, except this person will be able to do it in person. We're excited about that. It'll be a combination of work on the fundamentals and a chance to be with other students in an environment that's safe and welcoming. And so a combination of focus on the fundamentals and enrichment activities, whether it's the Fender guitar program we started, where middle school students get sent a free guitar and can learn to play and play with their friends, or the focus on the math fundamentals. But summer will be offered for all in person. And as we look to a full program come the start of the new school year in August, it will be full day, every day, students at all grade levels, with the additional reading teachers I've already spoken of, extra math teachers in elementary, extra teachers at secondary to reduce class sizes so students get more individualized attention, extra mental health counselors in schools, because we know students will be bringing trauma and anxiety back with them to the classroom, extra support for students with learning differences and disabilities. So we're excited about what lies ahead. We think we've got the resources now for the first time. The federal government's listened to our request, our pleas for a Marshall Plan for Education. And the most recent Biden administration action will give us the dollars we need to do the right thing in schools. So all of the struggle we've had with inadequacy for the last decade in the state of California, we're on a much, much better path.
How
resources we need in school classrooms.
Even if you have the financial resources, how do you have enough personnel to deal with the mental health challenges that many students are going to have with returning to schools, whether it's fear about returning to in-person classes if they're still out of the classroom but are coming back in the fall, whether it's other things that have gone on related to the pandemic and insecurities created economically or otherwise in their families? How do you have enough personnel to truly address a challenge of that scope?
We're putting in plans in place, and that's a great question there, because we use our resources to hire great people who work in schools. It's just that simple. We don't have other things that we can invest in. It's the people in schools who do the work with children. And whether it's reading teachers and math teachers or mental health counselors, we'll more than double the number of mental health counselors we have in schools. We're working with university partners, we're the community organizations, other hospital medical care systems to bring the people we need into school. So it's connecting resources that may exist in the community elsewhere to schools where the children are, and they'll bring that trauma back with them to school. I was at a high school today, about 2,500 students. More than 250 of them have reached out to the hotline we established at the school for a child who was struggling in a crisis. That's 250 who found the courage to make a phone call. You can imagine it's higher. It was an elementary school yesterday, small school, about 500 students. Two students lost parents, six students lost grandparents, two staff members lost parents. That's 10 lost lives, people no longer with us in a small community of 500 people. It's going to take time. It's going to take resources. And being in a school where that support is the best path we can see to help children recover.
We're talking with Austin Buettner, the superintendent of the LA Unified School District. We'll continue our conversation with him in just 1 minute. Next hour on Air Talk, we'll look at the state of mind and the state of economics of Southern California households. There have been a number of surveys conducted by academic institutions and other organizations, and we have a round table of experts who are going to talk with us, and we'll hear from listeners as well. Where do we sit at this point in the pandemic here in Southern California, whether it's jobs, whether it's household income, whether it's our kids? We'll get into all of that. Right now, we're talking about public education with the superintendent of the LA Unified School District, Austin Buettner. You had many parents in the district who were not anxious to return their kids to the classroom. They were fearful, despite the science showing that it's extremely safe to do so. They were still very concerned about the potential of spread in the school. And then you had another group of parents who were very critical of schools not reopening much earlier in person, given that so many other districts here, even in California, have been doing in-person instruction for months at this point. So how does the district get back sort of the confidence of those parents who were so critical and felt that the union was not following science, that the district was capitulating to the union, and the classes should have resumed far earlier in person than they did?
Yeah, I think it's important that any listener has some context. We serve more than 80% of the families we serve were living in poverty before this crisis began, combined with job loss and illness. The struggle has been only made harder. Communities we serve back in December, January, a third of the children we were testing tested positive for COVID. Death rates in Southgate, where I am right now, 10 times, 15 times higher than other more affluent communities. So comparing apples and oranges isn't really the way to get there. What we've tried to do is do this in the safest way possible. So we're providing COVID testing for every student, every staff member before they come back to school. We have a school district doing that. New York didn't do that. Chicago didn't do that. On an ongoing basis, we'll test 100% of people each week at school, students and staff. New York's testing 20%. Chicago's testing 5%. You have to build confidence that it's done right, that it's done safely. And I'm proud that I've got 86,000 hardworking colleagues alongside me each day who are in schools now in service of families. They know we're doing it right. They're sharing the message with the families because school just opened with no students there. That's not open. That'd be a Steven Spielberg movie with no one at the premiere. We've got to do it right and build trust in the families. And let's look in context in Los Angeles. Santa Ana School District, everyone talks about Orange County schools open. Santa Ana looks a lot like Los Angeles Unified. They elected to stay online the rest of the school year. Claremont, less than a quarter of families living in poverty compared to Los Angeles. They're offering 2 days, half days, that's it, for elementary school students, middle school students, for high school students. So we're doing the best we can, but I think it's important listeners understand the journey in La Cañada has been a lot different than the journey in Southgate. We have to respect the struggles our families have had. We have to make sure they have access to vaccine, access to vaccinations. Our school staff have been safely vaccinated. They feel confident to be back. That's the message we want to make sure our families understand.
I understand, but there have been other studies, and I'm sure you're aware in other parts of the country, in low-income communities that showed that schools were not a place where the spread was taking place because of how the virus affects the youngest age population. And so, you know, we had health authorities saying for a long time before LA Unified was you know, looking at reopening, saying, yes, even in areas of high concentration of COVID-19, it is safe to open schools. And it seemed like LA Unified did not want to follow that advice.
No, we followed the advice of the scientists that we pulled together starting last June, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, UCLA, Cedars-Sinai, Anthem Blue Cross, and Health Net, to help us do it in the safest way possible. There was no race to the swiftest. We needed to do it in the safest way possible to continue to have the trust of those who work in schools with the families directly and the families that we serve, and to keep schools open. Los Angeles, unfortunately, was the last of the big cities to have a major surge. So while it may have gotten better somewhere in the Midwest during the spring, Los Angeles was still dealing with headlines of mortuaries with bodies stacked outside, families waiting to bury a loved one well into the spring. So we might be a few weeks behind somebody else, but we're doing it the right way. I'm confident this is the best way to do it. There's only one right way. You don't bargain over what is safe. Safe is safe. And safe includes COVID testing for those who work in schools, as well as students, access to vaccinations for families, upgraded air filtration systems, extra custodial staff. And we've said the high standard of the nation in terms of what safe looks like in schools. We think that will stand the test of time, not just to open schools, but to keep students safely in schools.
Austin Buettner, LA Unified School District Superintendent, with us. I want to close by going back and you know, talking about your contract, because there were all these closed sessions of the board, your evaluation. You know, typically a contract renewal would have happened months before the expiration of the contract. So what happened? Did you tell them months ago you weren't interested in renewing? Did they tell you they weren't certain about, you know, a new contract? What happened? Because, you know, certainly there had to have been discussions going back quite a long time.
So a couple months ago, the board asked me to consider extending my contract. We had a deep conversation at that point in time, and all came to the same place, which was job 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 right now is to make sure we can reopen schools safely. Job 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is to make sure we can reopen schools safely. I made the commitment that I would continue as long as it took to make sure we reopen schools safely. Whatever I chose to do, I would be part of a transition, and that's where we are. So our number one goal was to make sure we're opening schools safely. That's what we've done. Now that we're on that path, now that the community can see we're doing it the right way, now that all work in schools have confidence we're doing it the right way, then you look at leadership transition, but not A then B, not B before A. And the thing that was all of our focus, the board's and mine, was to make sure that we open schools the safest way possible.
Megan Riley will be the interim superintendent after Austin Buettner's contract expires at the end of June. She heads business operations for the district. Mr. Buettner, thank you as always. Appreciate your being with us this morning on Air Talk.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Austin Buettner, superintendent, LA Unified School District. This is Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We've got a jam-packed second hour coming your way, including whether reward shows have a future. That's coming up next hour on Air Talk.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.